And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. You couldn't lose money betting on Helen Mirren for Best Actress last week. In fact, betting on any Brit in that category is pretty safe, as Judi Dench and Kate Winslet were both nominated as well. In an op-ed in Sunday Currents section of yesterday's Philadelphia Inquirer, Jonathan Last asked the question that might rankle every American actor. What do British actors have that U.S. film actors, generally speaking, do not? Consider the evidence. Here's a scene-chewing Kenneth Branagh as Henry V.
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day!
Articulate, eloquent. Well, how about the American?
Estella!
The great Marlon Brando, of course, chewing up Tennessee Williams. Jonathan Last is the online editor for the Weekly Standard. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, this modest proposal begs some input from you. Are the Brits generally better actors? Miles better? Why or why not? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us talk@npr.org. And, Jonathan, first of all, there's plenty of great American actors. You name a few in your op-ed.
I name a few. I can think of others. I hope this doesn't rankle people too much. These are always meant to be conversation starters, I think, and not enders. I'm a voracious consumer of popular culture myself. I embrace everything from Veronica Mars and Buffy the Vampire Slayer to Hamlet and Midsummer Night's Dream. One can appreciate and really enjoy the gifts of American actors, I think, while still also understanding that when you really are bloodless and ruthless about it, the Brits are just better.
Not merely just better, in your opinion. You say, make out your list of top 10 actors of all time. We're talking about the world of movies, so in the past 100 years or so. And you say you don't have room for many Americans there.
Yeah, I think you probably don't. If you were to make a quick and dirty list of the top 10 British male actors, film actors of the last, 50, 60 years or so, you would have to have, I think, John Gielgud and Laurence Olivier, Kenneth Branagh, whom we heard, probably Richard Harris and Michael Gambon. I would also throw on Ian McKellen, probably Alec Guinness, Jeremy Irons, Richard Burton, David Niven. And this leaves out so many people. It leaves out the great Peter Sellerses of the world. It leaves out Ralph Fiennes and Colin Firth, who are, very fine young actors.
Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins, who's fantastic, and Albert Finney. Really, the list can go on. And of course, you don't want people to get too upset. Lists are, by very definition, exclusionary. There are always going to be great people who are left off. But when you look at that great classical list, I think it's very hard to find many American actors, if any, who really would be able to crack that top 10. Brando is certainly one of the greats. Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson, contemporary great actors who
really
are.
Al Pacino, yeah.
Al Pacino, Lions in Winter. And there have been many, many great American actors who we can embrace again and celebrate and cherish and all of that.
But you're leaving out Keanu Reeves.
I would probably leave out Keanu Reeves. And, one of the tests of these is you look at what happens in a very modern commercial movie when you drop a British actor into the middle of it, like Alan Rickman in the Die Hard movies or Robin Hood or Alfred Molina in Spider-Man or Boogie Nights. Even Hugh Laurie, you drop in the middle of an American TV show like House, and all of a sudden it really classes the joint up a bit. They really raise the level of the entertainment and the production around them. And I think there are few examples of the converse when you drop Americans into British productions. But when that happens, even a wonderful actress like Laura Linney, whom I I'm quite supportive and quite a fan of. You drop her into the middle of Love Actually. She doesn't do a whole lot to really raise the level and sometimes looks like she's really struggling to keep up.
And you do a similar kind of list for female actors and find the list even more prohibitively pro-Brit.
I do, and I foolishly, and when I wrote this column, I listed a handful of great British women. Emma Thompson, Joan Hickson, my beloved Miss Marple, Judi Dench, Helen Mirren, Maggie Smith. I did not go much further than that. I left off the Redgrave sisters and all that in the interests of space. I did not list any American women in that list, and I've heard from the vast legions of the Meryl Streep fan club over the last 24 to 48 hours over her email, who are furious with me for leaving her out. I mean, no disrespect to Meryl Streep, who is a wonderful actress in her own right. And there are, again, great American women who we watch in movies and on television who really, are very fine at their craft. But overall, when you look pound for pound, It's very hard to see Americans holding their own at the highest level with Brits. And that's not even taking into account population disparity. You know, America is 5 times larger than Britain. But yet, you know, they invented the stage. They invented the language. They have some home field advantages.
Let's see if we get some listeners involved in the conversation. Our guest on the opinion page this week is Jonathan Last. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Jamie. Jamie's calling us from Londonderry in Vermont.
Hello.
Hi.
It's Jamie Campbell calling from Londonderry, Vermont. Well, I have to say that maybe the largest problem with American actors, at least currently, not being able to function as well as British actors, is there is a great difficulty for them to work consistently, to study consistently. There is no real academic training. There's no RADA. There's American Academy of Dramatic Arts, but comparatively speaking, I would have to say that the two do not equate.
RADA, of course, the Royal Academy of Dramatic
Royal
Arts.
Royal Academy.
And those rounded tones, Jamie, you're an actor?
I am an actor.
And you
I'm an equity actor, SAG, AFTRA, everything.
And so simply one of the differences is the amount of work that's available.
I think the amount of work, I think the quality of the training, I think the guardians at the gate, so to speak, i.e. agents and producers and the commercial aspect, especially at the lower levels of just getting started in this business, seem to be much harder. It's much more like a salmon swimming upstream here than it is in England. I went briefly to acting school in England, Webber Douglas Academy of Dramatic Arts, and I noticed a lot of my friends going off to the Watney Rep and Leeds and wherever. However, having returned here and moved to Hollywood, I found myself stymied. I did all right with commercials and that sort of thing, but I think as far as developing a quality of acting, America just does not have it. It's not ingrained in us. Broadway is a very hard ticket. I've known a lot of shows that have come over from England. I mean, Arthur Miller's last play, I forget what it is right off the top of my head, ran for 6 weeks. A friend of mine was in it. He ended up painting houses in Rhode Island. I think it's a very, very different life for actors in the United States.
But it sounds, Jamie,
and plays a large part in it here. So,
but it sounds, Jamie, as if through the size, you're agreeing with Jonathan Last. The British actors are better.
Well, I think the British actors have more opportunity to be better. I think they give, you know, look at Kevin Spacey. He's over there at the Old Vic right now. I mean, I think there is some great, wonderful talent here. People like Cherry Jones. I mean, they're just some wonderful actors who lack the exposure and the opportunity to get their craft to a point where it can compete with British actors.
All right. Jamie, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Lack of opportunity. Would you agree, Jonathan Last?
Yes, certainly. And not just lack of opportunity, but lack of also the imperative to embrace those opportunities. The American dramatic industries are very much largely geared towards television and film, where over in England, actors and young actors are pushed and encouraged to embrace the stage. And many of the top British actors that we were talking about are really stage actors who find time to do film work and TV work on the side. And those industries are also very different. Over in Britain, you have TV series which don't have that golden carrot of syndication hanging in front of them, pushing them to get to 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have $120 million movies that have to be big tentpole science fiction movies that'll play well across the globe in order to make enough money to sustain the studio. And so what you get is you get entertainments which are more geared towards writers, more geared towards actors, more geared towards human emotions. And these, I think, are all good things and things which help actors and writers and all the people who are really in it for the art and not just the ICM contracts.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Sarah. Sarah with us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey there. I just wanted to say basically what the other guy just said, but more simply, Hollywood is so commercialized, it's good to get good vehicles for our actors to really show their talents. And also I wanted to say, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks as class wherever he goes, wouldn't you say, Jonathan Last?
Absolutely. I heard him just a few months ago, and I think it was Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he was good even in that.
Even in that, which is not easy, believe you.
Even in his bad movies, he's wonderful.
All right. Sarah, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Here's an email we got from our blog. I think it's a false choice. The point is, Best Actor may not shine if the role does not fit. Helen Mirren has much to be proud of in her career, but she also has the Penthouse-produced Caligula. She shares that film with Malcolm McDowell and Peter O'Toole. Likewise, Marlon Brando has had many award-winning performances, but he also did the awful Island of Dr. Moreau. Actors can rise to the occasion or fall to the depths of mediocrity. One Nation doesn't have a monopoly on good actors. It's evidence of weak self-esteem of Americans that this is a question for discussion of all. That from Gary Anderson off the talk of the blog of The Nation, our first contributor from the blog of The Nation. So really, what do you make of his point, John?
I think it's funny for a guy from the Weekly Standard to be accused of weak self-esteem for America. I come from the bastion of neoconservative imperialism, so I think that's probably not the fairest charge against me.
Let's talk more. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. In the Philadelphia Inquirer, Jonathan Last wrote, "Why the British Outclass Us in Acting." You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Isabel on the line. Isabel calling us from Hamilton, New Jersey.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is that it seems to me that in England, in the UK, actors are chosen on how well they act, whereas in the United States, they're chosen on how they look. So you have, you know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They're beautiful, but that shouldn't matter whether you're a good actor or not. And my question is, at what stage of the process do people who are plain-looking but could be good actors get eliminated?
It's called the character role, I think, is what you're looking for in that particular. That has to do more with, I guess, your agent and how you market yourself, Jonathan Last. But I think she does have a point. Hugh Laurie might not be the star he is here if he'd not been a star in Britain. It's not easy for somebody who's not conventionally handsome or conventionally beautiful to get a part, a leading part.
That's true. I mean, when you look at this, all actors, you know, are, as a self-selected genetic class, they're all pretty good looking. I mean, even pretty vain about it too. You know, even the dowdiest actor or actress is, you know, much better looking than the average, well, one of me on the street, just as a for instance. But you definitely, I think that Isabel makes an excellent point. The commercialism aspect of Hollywood, you know, where we're constantly selling something, we're selling a magazine cover, we're selling an appearance on Regis and Kathy Lee, which is now no longer Kathy Lee,
right.
Regis and Kelly. There is so much of a commercialism to it, and so much of an imperative to open big. You know, you can't have movies which even grow over the course of weeks as the way they used to. You know, mm-hmm. have to have that big opening weekend, otherwise you're pushed out of the screens and
right.
You're doomed to DVD rentals. There's so much of that it really does push to have people who are bankable, people who are immediately attractive, and you don't get to have the great characters.
I think, actually, Kathy Lee never left that show just the same way McNeil never left Lehrer. So there will always be those titles. Anyway, Isabel, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And let's see if we can get – this is Barbara on the line. Barbara's with us from Northfield, Minnesota.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am English, as you may hear.
As we can tell, yes.
In considering all these actors who do perform so wonderfully, it seems to me that English actors frequently value the word, the sentence, the context, and manage to convey the precision of understanding and the value of those words and their meanings. And this enhances the acting and the reception by audiences here in America as much as anywhere else.
That's one of the points you make in your piece, Jonathan Last.
It is. I couldn't agree more, actually. You know, so much we get caught up in the visual because you know, our actors and actresses are so very comely. But really, at least half, probably much more of what an actor does is with their voice. It's with the rendering of language. The languages are rendering thoughts and emotions and concepts, which are so much bigger than the person. And the English, this is their language. They invented it. They grew up with it. They still, in many cases, study the greats. They study the canon. They know Goldsmith. They know Sheridan. And they also study in many of the finer schools, although not the normal schools over there. They study classical. They study the classics. They study Greek. They study Latin. They know even the roots of their own language in ways which we sadly don't get over here.
Mm-hmm. I lived in London for 4 years and went to a fair amount of theater and certainly noticed exactly what Barbara and you were talking about. I also noticed that British actors don't move anywhere near as well as American actors. Once they're walking around on stage, the Brits are just walking from place to place. Americans tell a lot more with their bodies than the Brits do.
Yeah, there's a real physicality to it. And that's why one of the reasons you don't see very many British action stars, I think, because, you know, also we do get that there are certain roles, you know, if you're mm-hmm. going to be a Bruce Willis, that is about the physicality. And this isn't to denigrate that. It's just a different side of the street, so to speak.
Brando, the same kind of deal. He could really do a lot of things with his body that a lot of people surely can't. Barbara, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it. And there's also the phenomenon, I guess the Renee Zellweger phenomenon, of American actresses now being cast as British actresses, asking people to use their British accents.
And they don't like that very much over the pond, do
they? No, they don't. No, they don't. Even when they win Academy Awards with it.
Yeah, and it happens, although not as often as the reverse happens. You think of Hugh Laurie in House, who has that fantastic accent of his. It's not just an American accent. There's even a little of Armenian or Turkishness to it, too. He gets little twangs depending on what mood he's in. And it's really, I think it's, again, a sign of the level of the playing field, a mm-hmm. sign of the sort of the class of acting that they're operating in.
He is exceptional, though. We used to identify what we call the I-80 accent, the English-American accent that sort of wandered all across the country backwards, a little Bronx, a little Louisiana. You take what you get.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. But in general, the quality of the acting, just person, pound for pound, is better in London, no question about it.
I'm glad you think so. The Meryl Streep fans of the world don't.
Well, I didn't say entirely. And when Meryl comes back to Broadway, we'll welcome her. Jonathan Last, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Last, his op-ed appeared in the Sunday Currents section of the Philadelphia Inquirer. If you'd like to read it, there's a link to it on our webpage. Just go to npr.org/talk. And you can also download our opinion page podcast at our website. Jonathan Last joined us here in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.